Thank you for praying so well during the prayer time. And it's inspiring to think we can put that into practice on a regular basis. And as we watch the news and read different things, read the Bible, we can be in prayer for those who face a lot tougher times than we do. A few years ago in the Tribune newspaper, there was an article about a man in Afghanistan who turned to Christ. He was from a Muslim background, and so he was arrested because that's against the law still in that country. The prosecuting attorney from the Afghan government was quoted as saying this: "We are Muslims, and becoming a Christian is against our laws, so this man must get the death penalty." And the man's crime was saying, "Jesus is my Lord." And the Bible lets us know realistically that everybody who wants to live godly lives and follow Christ will be persecuted. And since 30 AD, followers of the Lord, sadly, have been persecuted on a regular basis. And the Bible teaches us that persecution is inevitable, but sadly not unusual. You think of the Lord himself being killed by government and religious leaders, counting the Apostle Paul, 11 apostles murdered for their faith, and then the Apostle John put on an island for criminals to die. In addition, John the Baptist killed because he stood for what was right. Stephen, the first deacon, he was killed for preaching. Barnabas, missionary partner of Paul, they were all killed for the sake of Christ, and many others you can read about in both Scripture and the Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is a good resource. In the book of Acts, there's at least 17 different occasions where believers are persecuted and attacked. And Jesus said soberly, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you too. If they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." So when we think of persecution, always think of the Lord at the center of what's going on. And I think a good Bible question for anybody attacking Christians might be, and then the story is unbelievably inspirational that we heard here. One question to ask people who persecute Christians: why do you hate Christ? Because behind all the fury against people and individuals and maybe a little bit of guff that you have felt here and there, you know, there's an antagonism in the human heart against the Lord and a real desire to push him out of our lives, sad to say. And Jesus pretty much asked the question, why do you hate Christ, when he asked that to Saul on the road to Damascus? "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul at that point, he was just trying to wipe out churches. Jesus said, "I am Jesus who you are persecuting." So an attack on Christians is an attack on the Lord. And ideally, we don't have to defend ourselves. The King of Kings will defend us. And by the grace of God, you hear these stories. I don't know how people do it, that they're able to persevere and stand for Christ. Somebody asked me a couple months ago, would I say I believed in Jesus if somebody said, you know, "If you say that, I'm going to kill you right now." I'm unfortunately a bit of a rascal in me. I'd probably say, "Oh, no, I don't believe in him." And then once I escaped, I would say, "Oh, yes, I did. See, I just got loose." But a more greater way of integrity is what we hear by believers. And the Lord will use even governments and other believers to defend believers sometime. That's a good thing. Recently, the King of Jordan and the Prince of Jordan, both whom are Muslims, have defended Christians from persecution from ISIS. They welcome them into the country. They house them in churches and try to stick up for them. They say that being Christian is a key part of the history of Jordan. And these guys, you know, they have no sympathy for the Lord much, but God is using them even to protect believers, although the Jordanian king is very antagonistic to Israel. That's just one of his big sins, for sure. Now, in our country, persecution is more subtle, but a lot less painful. And we really have to take a realistic look at that. I don't think we should expect secular government or secular public institutions or atheists to love on Christians. I don't think they're going to do that, you know, unless the Lord is working in their life. But when you think of this, none of these groups, at least in my life, have kept me from following the Lord. The government really never kept me from following the Lord, nor any public group, nor any atheist. The only person who has ever kept me from following the Lord has been me. And I think if you ask the Lord about that, he'll give you the same answer, that we only hold ourselves back from following Christ. So you and I, we could be outspoken Christian witnesses or quiet Christian witnesses, really in any vocation or any secular setting. And the Lord will help make us courageous and creative to do that. A couple of less stories to share. I know of one teacher in a public school system who would invite pastors in on a regular basis, well, each year when they would have career day. And he said, "Pastor, come in and tell us about your work and bring some Bibles. You're free to pass them out so you can show the students what you use for your work." And it was a fantastic ministry. And another teacher, an advanced placement history teacher, had students read parts of the book of Revelation each year on a chapter he taught called How Civilizations Survive and How Civilizations End. Just to get that perspective from, you know, first century Judaism-Christianity about the way people understood the world. In Erie County, a lot of school districts, when they have the See You at the Poll time in September, at least the one our children were connected with, it was a public school, but the superintendent would go for prayer time. He would pray with the students. The principal would pray with the students. And a bunch of teachers would all go and hold hands and pray with the students. And it was 100% legal to do that. God opened that door, and really it was a student-run thing. And they had invited these authority figures, and they enjoyed praying to the Lord and standing, you know, with the students at that time. And in the big persecuted countries, which are mentioned here, some in Africa, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Iran, North Korea, China, Vietnam, Pakistan, Afghanistan. Those are the really bad governments right now against Christians. Christians have a ton of strength from the Lord. They are very strong in those countries. A missionary was forced to leave China 60 years ago. He's recalling what it was like. This was reported a couple of years ago. He said, you know, when we left China, we felt sorry for the church because the church didn't have teachers, seminaries, medical missions, very few orphanages, very few Bibles. And the Christians had no resources except the Holy Spirit. But it appears the Holy Spirit did just fine. Because what happened, of course, in China, after all the Western missionaries were kicked out, there were enough believers left behind, they started to spread the word among themselves. When the missionaries left, there were about 100,000 Christians. And now in China, there's about 100 million Christians. And so the believers might be in chains, but of course, the word of God is not in chains. And we're so happy about that. And one leader, which is fantastic, in the prayer list in the bulletin there, Shelley got us, notice it didn't say stop the persecution, but rather persevere. And the one Chinese leader in the house church movement was asked, you know, do you guys pray for the persecution to stop? He paused and said, we never even thought of that, you know. He said, we expect opposition, and we can't imagine anything else. So that's a tough-minded perspective. And it doesn't make them any more loving, as we heard. It seems like these folks who are persecuted are actually more loving than if I'm not persecuted, you know. Three things we could do when we face persecution. Pray Stephen's prayer, and I'm sure these folks do it who were persecuted. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. That's what Stephen prayed when he was getting killed. Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Story of the recent one also. Number two, know you are advancing the gospel if you are persecuted. That's what happened to Paul. He said, I'm in prison, But now the Christian people around me are more bold and courageous. So you're going to advance the gospel if you take a hit for the team, as it were. I had a buddy who was a principal up in Lakeview School District. He used to hold teachers' prayer meetings, and he got a lot of flack from it and was ordered to shut it down, you know, and job threatened and all this other stuff. But God was still honored, even though at that time the door was closed for him. And then last thing we could do, love our enemies. A surprise, strong message we got from the video there. That for the enemies, the destiny of their soul is at stake. So we could still share. Oh, hey, Christ loves you. You know, Christ forgives you for what's going on. And to tell the good news. And by God's grace, you and I could do that. Maybe for even our own soul. You know, if we're persecuting ourselves as a believer, down on ourselves, or down on the Lord, we could say, we turn to Christ for peace. And we could spread that to other people. Only by His strength, only by His integrity. It's hard to preach on something we haven't gone through personally. You know, in any great extent, little things. But not like what we were just hearing about. And I think what we're going to do, we're going to hear a story of Alliance missionaries who got wiped out in the late 60s. But we're going to do that while we, we're going to do that while we pass out the cup, if we could do it at that time, fellas, to do both at the same time. Let's be close to the Lord and each other at communion. Let's pray together.